thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love.
Yes.
We ask that you bless this Bible study this morning and also the main sanctuary. And bless whoever brings forth the word and the teaching.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, just have your way amongst us, Father, because we know your presence is there with us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. And just bless your people. And we give you all praise and glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you again for this.
You are so welcome.
Thank you.
I got cards I got to pass out.
Okay, guys. I already said who would like to pray. Margaret said as soon as I said who would like to pray, she'd turn us on. So this morning good morning, everybody, and welcome to the usual Sunday adult discussion class here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we just love to talk about our Lord.
Yes.
He's the best thing that ever happened to us, and everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know.
Yes.
Okay, last week I think we were still in chapter 12 of Matthew, and I believe that we read up to 33 or 34. Is that about right? Buddy, can you remember?
Who read?
You read.
All righty. Let me see. We went all around 12. I read up to
32.
Sure did. I like to stop where there's like a natural stop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, help me to see.
I got on here
25 to 32, so yeah. I must have read 32.
Okay,
32.
Yes. And so, does anybody have anything else they'd like to say from 25 to 32?
Mm-hmm. Sorry for making noise here.
Uh-huh.
I said sorry for making noise. I feel choky. I need to get my voice down.
Okay, the next part says, the heading says, words reveal character. So I'd like to stop at 37, and then, you know, we'll just chat about that, and then if we go on, maybe we'll go on to the desire for songs. Let me see. Buddy, it's your turn to read.
Yes. Okay, we're starting with Matthew 12, verse 33.
Right.
Either make the tree sound healthy and good, and its fruit sound healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased and bad. For the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit.
Amen.
You offsprings of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil, wicked? For out of the fullness of the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his inner good treasures flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced.
Okay. Well, I gotta say, I don't know too much about any of that, and it's confusing to me. Good things, bad things, good trees. I mean, because we always say, well, let's not judge. That's good, that's bad, that's good, that's bad. So, who is speaking there? I guess that's Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess he can judge good and evil. If he...
yeah.
I thought
one,
that it
the
was
only
word
he could do it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is that a word that you talked about out of his evil storehouse? is that where it says the evil treasure? Yeah, but you know what, the usage of that treasure says, it says a casket, a coffer, or other receptacle in which valuables are kept, a treasury, a storehouse, a repository. Collected treasures. So I guess that means, shows you that one thing is that the evils don't happen overnight. You spend years collecting up your evil treasures to bring them out.
And it says, the words have said that we are known by our fruit, that we are, you know, known by our fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The word says that. And then this is talking about out of our heart, our innermost being, us, who we are. It says that the mouth speaks from out of the heart.
So this is Jesus, and he's saying, either make the tree good and his fruit good. So who's the tree? God said we're a tree.
We're trees.
Yeah. So either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruits. I don't think that he's actually saying we make one man good and we make one man bad, I think, or evil. I think he's saying, because by your fruit you are known, the fruit, which is the words and your actions that you say and do, mm-hmm. make your tree good or evil. What do you guys think?
I think he's saying you have a choice.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think we display what is within us. Because I know if God's speaking to me, say, what you give yourself to, you become.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we give ourselves unto him, we become him. And so...
Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, those kind of things. And it tells you in the scriptures, against such there's no law, you know. And Jesus said, by their fruits shall you know them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he's saying here, either make the tree good and its fruits good, make the tree bad and its fruits bad. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to stay at my uncle sometimes in the summer for a week or so, in the summer, just to get me out of the city. His mother was working and stuff, and when I was younger. And he had an apple orchard. And, you know, if you went up in a tree, an apple tree, and plucked the apples, you know, either they were good apples or they were bad apples. If a lot of times a bad apple will have worms and stuff in it, you know, where, you know, things that are not good have gotten into the apple, you know. So, you know, really the only way you can judge good fruit or bad fruit is by the fruit of the Spirit, because Scripture says, by their fruits shall you know them. And it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I will say this, I've preached sermons on this before. When I was a kid, I used to love grapes, and I'd climb over the fence next door. And I lived on Sycamore Hill, and I'd pick the grapes. They didn't care because they didn't do anything with them. But, you know, they were purple Concord grapes, and I would pick them sometimes when they first come on, and they were green. And when they would come on, and they were green. If you've ever eaten a unripe grape, they're about as sour as they
yeah.
can be. They're very alkaline, you know. You spit it out. You know, you can't eat it. It's just too bad. But if you wait to the fullness of time, that same grape will mature after the sun and the rain and so on and so forth. And that grape will be very luscious and very, very good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like grapes, you love them, you know. As a matter of fact, I got some grapes at home, and the kids, Margaret just bought a big bunch yesterday. I eat them a lot of times during the week, you know, but it's getting sort of out of grape season, so it's getting kind of hard to find decent ones. But in our lives, we sometimes have fruit, but it's not mature fruit. And if we don't have mature fruit, then that fruit is bitter, and it doesn't taste very good. And we can't judge someone that we know shows signs of having the fruit, but yet sometimes that fruit is not mature yet. So we shouldn't judge according to that, you know. But you know, if you get a bunch of grapes or a bunch of something at the fruit market, and you take them home and you start to eat them or something, and they've got bugs or worms or something inside of them, well, that's bad fruit. And there's nothing you can do to make that fruit good, you know. So there's a difference between judging someone's fruit. You know, they will let you know that if the fruit is there, but yet maybe it's not always a full age yet. So we need to, when we see that, we need to just love someone in spite of that and not judge them according to that. But Christians have a tendency that they tend to judge people by, especially religious people, so to speak, by their gifts, not their fruits. And you can be extremely gifted in the Lord, because the gifts and the callings of God are given without repentance.
True.
In other words, if He gifted you in a word of prophecy or in a word of discernment or whatever it would happen to be, sometimes it can be even God lets the gifts of healing work in someone where they can pray for people and they'll be healed. But that does not mean that they're a mature Christian. What that means is that they're functioning in the gifts, and you can't judge people by their gifts. You have to judge them by their fruits. And, you know, the first psalm is, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner. What do I mean by standing in the way of the sinner? Christian people stand in the way of sinners a lot. They don't allow them to come to the Lord because they're judging them so harshly. Or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, he shall be like a tree planted by, you know, waters. He'll bring forth fruit in his own season, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, so God uses things that we can understand, you know, because we can understand. We had a tree one time in our backyard. It was a maple tree when we lived on West High years ago. Went on vacation, left, the tree was just fine. It looked just fine. We came back, the leaves were falling out, all this stuff. We thought, what's wrong with this tree? Well, we happened to have a guy who was related to Myers Landscaping people who lived across the street from us. He was one of the relatives and he worked for them. So we went across the street and asked him, would he take a look at our tree and tell us what was wrong with it? And he took a look at it, and he said, you have borers in your tree. And what happens is these things, it wasn't very big holes, it was small holes. Mm-hmm. These little things crawl up and they bore into your tree. Well, that becomes a bad tree. You know, there wasn't anything you could do about it. It killed that tree. I had to have it cut down and dig up the roots. Mm-hmm. But it's a great big tree, real pretty tree. So sometimes in certain situations, that's a bad tree. You're not going to make a bad tree a good tree. It's a bad tree. So you have to be careful when you even judge people. You should judge them by their fruits. If people show love and compassion in some ways, then even if they're meaner than a snake in other ways, there's still, you know, potential there for the Lord to bring them to the place that, and we all sometimes say and do things that we shouldn't say and do, you know, which if you get judged on that one thing that you do, you're going to judge unjustly, you know, because we all fall short of the glory of God, you know. But I, you know, the Lord has a tendency that when I see scriptures, he has allowed me to see things sometimes for what they are as far as in the natural. And the things of the natural do declare the things of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole universe, the whole everything out there is declaring God and declaring Jesus as Lord if you have eyes to hear it, see it, or ears to hear it. Whether people know it or not, it's doing that, you know. So, but we have to not judge people because of their fruit if it's immature fruit, you know. And, you know, I hope that helps.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of discernment that in here that we need to look at too. Because, oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? But they do.
Mm-hmm.
They try to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they feel like they're, you know, putting on a show for somebody, mm-hmm. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can see a person talk. There's a discernment involved with when you know somebody's talking out of one side of their mouth, they're talking out of the, mm-hmm. or saying the absolute truth that's coming out of the abundance of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at that evil just a second. Evil, wicked one, evil things, and miscellaneous. Full of labors, annoyances, and hardships. Pressed and harassed by labors. Bad or of a bad nature or condition. In a physical sense, diseased or blind. Sometimes it is because there's a disease of the heart, there's a disease of the soul, you know. And they are blind, or they can't see, or they can't hear, and that's exactly what they're saying. When the words that you speak and the things that you say, out of the abundance of those things, and I can't judge out of just one, but out of the abundance of those things.
Well, the thing about it is we know that God can forgive and does forgive.
Yes.
A lot of things in our lives and in other people's lives too. And, you know, we have to realize that, like, when Moses was in the wilderness, and because they were disobedient, he sent fiery serpents among them. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament. And remember what had to happen so that they weren't all killed by these fiery serpents biting them. He made a serpent of brass,
mm-hmm.
and hung it upon a pole.
Yes.
And Jesus said, like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you know, basically, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus took the place of that fiery serpent, of that brass serpent, you know, when he died on Calvary. So, you know, we really need to try to not judge, period, you know, anything before the time is right. The saints are going to judge the world, but he's not going to let you judge the world until you've come to a place of maturity and you can function in the love of God and judge it with the love of God. And because otherwise what you'll do is you'll judge it with religious judgment, and the religious judgment will be just like the scribes, the Pharisees, and them, you know, they threw the law at him constantly and told him, you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. What did he tell them? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, you know. So a lot of times the discernment has to be functioning out of love, and it has to function out of love. And, you know, but God gives us that discernment, but we also need to understand that that's not the true test of whether, you know, you're mature in God. The true test is whether or not you have the fruit. Because that's one of the gifts of the Spirit, discernment, you know, discerning things. Mm-hmm. But thank God when He gives you that discernment, you know. And I've found out that times when I felt like in our family, when I felt like we shouldn't do something or something like that, and I gave in and we did it, it turned out badly. It always turned out badly, you know. And then I would really kind of kick myself and say, well, you know, I knew we shouldn't have done that, or shouldn't have made that decision, or whatever, you know what I mean. But there's a real balance of the fruit of love, you know, has to be the governing faction in everything that we do, you know. It has to be the love of God. Mm-hmm. And you know. Yeah, that generation of vipers. I'll tell you another thing. There's a scripture in Isaiah where Isaiah said, he'll not judge with the hearing of the ear or the seeing of the eye, but will judge righteous judgment. He's going to bring forth his servant. I think it was the branch or whatever. And he said, it talks about him put a lion laying down with the lamb and all that kind of stuff, and him putting his hand in the cockatrice den. And he could put his hand in the cockatrice den because the anointing of the Holy Spirit was there, you know. And out there in the world today, if they don't know the Lord, it's the cockatrice den. You put your hand, you put your life in it every day, you know. But the anointing of the Lord keeps you from harm, basically, you know. So. I was trying to look and see where that was. I can't remember exactly where that's at.
Spell cockatrice. Cockatrice.
You're asking the wrong person to spell something. I'm not the greatest speller in the world.
It looks like I...
Probably about like it sounds.
I look like I said cockatrice.
Let's see. I'll find it here. Let's see. Scripture will not judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but judge righteous judgment. Isaiah 11:3. I think that's right. Yeah. Let's see. Excuse me. And there shall come forth a stem of Jesse, the branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick to understand in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteous judgment shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, like lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child, now what's it mean when you're weaned?
You're off the breast.
Yeah, you're off the breast, you're not on the milk anymore, you're in a deeper thing. Mm-hmm. Weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles see, and his rest shall be glorious. I've preached sermons on that years ago. I haven't done it for a long time, but that's a tremendous scripture there. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that what did Jesus say he was? I'm the vine, and what are you?
We're the branches.
We're the branches, mm-hmm. You know. So when we come to realize that, you know, a stem of Jesse, a branch, shall grow out of his roots. Mm-hmm. And we know that Jesus is the root. Mm-hmm. And a tree gets all of its nourishment and all of its life from the root. Yeah. He is the root, you know.
But isn't it neat? Please? The branches get to have all the fruit.
They get the fruit, that's right. And that's absolutely right.
Because I just had a little thing that, you know, I pulled it out to see if it was doing well. I was making some little babies plants. And yeah. I pulled out, had a root on it like this, but it wasn't pretty.
Right.
But the little plant was cute. So I stuck a finger in there and put it back in. I probably killed it. But.
I don't know. I don't have a green thumb, but I know that a lot of times when you dig something up, isn't there a thing called the tap root?
Oh, yeah.
Which is the main root that mm-hmm. goes down. That's the main one. The other ones bring nourishment, mm-hmm. but the tap root is the one that really, you know, really sustains.
No,
if you break the tap root a lot of times, and yes. the thing will die.
Yeah, yeah. I see that on weeds a lot. Don't
yeah.
you? There's
yeah.
one great big old thing. There.
And you know what? You can't. Weeds are the hardest thing uh-huh. in the world to kill. Uh-huh. You know. But I, you know, when you think about that whole scripture, that whole portion of scripture there, and it says, he shall not judge with the sight of the eyes, neither
yes.
reprove by the hearing of the ear. That's
yes.
talking about the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have that five natural senses, see, working. I mean, five spiritual senses, that's five natural senses. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. So what's he smiting it? He's gonna smite the evilness and the stuff because he's gonna bring it to repentance, you know. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wickedness. And I don't know if it says wicked, but I think it's wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And it goes on and talks about the wolf and stuff. But when he gets down here and it says, and a suckling child, a little child will lead him. Well, what does Jesus say? Except you become as a little child, what? You can't see the kingdom, you can't enter the kingdom. Why did he say that? Because what are little children like? They believe, they have faith.
Mm-hmm.
They trust their parents. You know, you can even find kids who are abused and mistreated by their parents, and they'll still have a certain amount of loyalty to their parents, and they'll
yeah.
still love them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really kind of sad when you think about it in a way, but you know, and we know that the Lord, you know, and except we become as a little child, have that childlike faith, you know, that God's not going to honor what we do. We have to have that childlike faith where we believe that he can do anything and he's the greatest and everything else because that's what he is, you know. But then he talks about a suckling child, so play on the hole of an asp. A lot of religion out there, they're in the milk of the word and only the milk of the word, and they play on the hole of the asp. You know,
mm-hmm.
they blame the devil for everything that happens. You know, oh, the devil did this, the devil did that, the devil. That's all you hear.
Mm-hmm.
But what's he say? A weaned child will put his hand in the crocodile's den.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to come a time when the anointing of the Lord is going to allow you to step into those things and make them right, you know. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountain, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day shall the root of Jesse,
mm-hmm.
which shall stand as an ensign for the people, it shall, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Tremendous scripture, tremendous. That whole thing.
Go a little bit more. Oh, yes, yeah, 11:11.
Okay, so it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second.
Again.
Again, I can't, I don't have a glass on.
Oh, that's good.
Again, the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros.
What do you think that means? The Lord shall set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant.
Well, almost all of those people that he's saying there were all enemies.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They were all
Cush,
enemies.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's going to
Assyria.
Set his hand again to save them.
Right.
There's a good scripture.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Crush and Elam from Shamar and Hamath.
From
the islands of the seas. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations that shall, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Mm-hmm. But anyway, if you go and read that, the whole thing is great. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to read that. I can just barely read it without my glasses.
I think that's a tremendous, 11:11.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous, he's going to set his hand again.
But see, we have to judge not with the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. Mm-hmm. And the thing about discernment is there's natural discernment and then there's spiritual discernment. Mm-hmm. Natural discernment, you know, you hear somebody say something, you see somebody say, do something. Oh man, that's awful. You know, they're a terrible person. You know, they're natural. But if you look with the eyes of the Spirit, it might be an entirely different thing, you know. It's like the old man, the old China man, you know, all this is good, all that's bad, all, you know, back and forth. And that's the way the natural mind is. But with wisdom, we leave it in the hands of the Lord. And if he tells us to intercede there, then we should intercede. If not, then we stay out of it, you know. But anyway, but that's a tremendous scripture there.
I looked up the word ensign.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're wearing a uniform, you know, it's the pastor's here. It's just the sign that you belong to this.
Mm. Well,
if you're in the army, people will know immediately you're in the army.
And if it's an ensign and it's a patch like that, it also tells of your authority.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, you don't get patches in the army unless you get authority. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get a private, which is not very much authority.
One stripe.
As you go on in the Lord, the authority increases.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, after a while, even in the gifts, as God gives, allows you to function in the gifts, you know.
Well, after the second time he comes to recover the remnant, then he says, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't go pointing fingers, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
And gather together the dispersed of Judah and from the four corners of the earth. Now, who does all that take in? Four corners of the earth. I think that's about it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Isaiah is really one of the most powerful of the prophetic books in the Old Testament because the Lord gave him tremendous insight in a lot of things, you know. And other portions of Scripture, even people in other portions of Scripture, the Lord gave them some of the same revelations, you know. But, you know, Isaiah, he took it a lot farther with Isaiah than he did with most of them, you know. So.
There's a girl on the radio. The radio. Am I showing my age? who is supposedly a remarkable prophetess.
Yeah.
And I listened to her for a while, and all I ever heard about was the enemy. Oh, the enemy this. The enemy has stolen that, and you have to keep your eyes off of the enemy, and blah, blah, blah. But if she said the name of Jesus or the Lord or God, one third the time that she said the enemy this and the enemy that, it was. So I had to turn it off. I can't look at that. you know.
Because, like, really giving all power.
Yeah.
To his men.
Yeah. Yes. He's trying to do this. He's trying to do that. You know.
Sure.
And it's immaturity, I guess. I don't know.
Well. People, I'm going to tell you this, and some people might not agree with this. Satan has no power other than what the church gives him. Mm-hmm. Everything that Satan tries, that the satanic force tries to do, is it was defeated on Calvary. You know, Jesus had to come in the form of a he wasn't a, I won't call him a human because he wasn't human. He wasn't hewed down. I don't think he was hewed down.
Yeah.
I think he was hewed up as far as, you know, he was what God intended for man to be like. Mm-hmm. He was the pattern son, mm-hmm. the real fulfillment of what he said when let us make man our own image, our own likeness. And the thing about it is that when he was taken into the wilderness and tempted, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, where do you think was really trying to tempt him? Probably his natural mind.
Yeah.
You know, if you be God, cast yourself down, for it's said that the angels will bear you up as you dash your foot against a stone and all this kind of stuff. And what was Jesus's always his reply?
He quoted him
scripture, an actual scripture. You shouldn't tempt the Lord thy God, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be honest with you, we have to get into that same function, you know, when we find things tempting us. And I don't say we always do that because it's a learning process, you know, but we have to learn to do that. And I sort of found out some of that, and I can't say that I do that all the time and everything because I don't. But I had a learning process when I had the epilepsy. You know, after my mother had that, where the Lord told her that he was healing me, you know, and she came out there from praying and told me that. He didn't tell me that, he told her that. It's a little harder to function in something when somebody else was told and you weren't told, you know what I mean? But he took away my desire, my ability to take that medicine, see? And I just quit taking it. You know, eventually, I mean, real shortly after that. And I didn't tell her, and I still dumped the pills in the toilet and flush them. And, you know, the pills kept me so drugged up, I didn't know if I was coming or going. That's one reason why I don't spell extremely good today. Sometimes I can spell big words and little words I have a problem spelling at times. Because it was when I was 12, I was 9 years old when I started having seizures. I had them from the time I was 9 until I was 12 for 3 years. You know, there's thinking about them the number 3 years, you know, all that stuff. All those numbers come into play when you figure it out. And what I would have to do is when I felt like I was going to have a seizure, you know, I would quote scripture to it. And I would quote 2 Timothy verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And also would say, devil, you're a liar. Mm-hmm. I don't receive this. Mm-hmm. And it would eventually go away. And even at times, I used to have to go get EEG tests every so often, you know. And even to get my license, when I was a man, I had to go I could only get my license for 6 months at a time. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't had a seizure for many years when I got to be old enough to drive. I after I was 12 years old, I quit having seizures, you know. But anyway, when I had to go get that EEG, all the time that I was going to get that test, I would feel like I was going to have a seizure. Mm-hmm. And I would lay there and I would say, you devil, you're a liar. And I'd quote that scripture to myself. And eventually that feeling would go away, the test would come back normal, you know. But I still had that. And then when I wasn't even saved at that point, but then I was at church one time, and I've shared this testimony before, but I was at church one time, and brother, I was in a prayer meeting first, Tuesday night, Wednesday night service. Tuesday night I was in a prayer meeting, a men's prayer meeting, and one of the old brothers that had prophetic minister, he came over and said, the Lord keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me concerning you. He said, do you have epilepsy? And I said, no. He said, did you have it? I said, yes. He said, do you have a fear of it? I said, yes. And he said, God wants you to proclaim that that fear is gone. So that was on a Tuesday night. On a Wednesday night, and I could tell you, anytime I would get, I didn't like to go to the dentist at all, because when you're going to have a seizure, what it feels like when they numb your mouth. That's what happens when it first starts to hit you. It's like all of a sudden your mouth starts getting numb, and then the next thing you know, you're having an actual grand mal seizure, you know, where you can't control yourself and stuff. And anyway, so when he said, God wants you to proclaim that that fear is gone. The next night, I was at a service, and Brother Eddie was talking. Did anybody have any testimonies, you know? And I'm sitting there, and now you have to realize I was very backward because I had seizures in public, very backward. I did not like to get up in front of people, did not like to go in restaurants. I didn't go in restaurants back then because I had seizures in restaurants before in public. And people always acted so goofy when that happened, you know. So anyway, so, you know, when he asked that, I felt like the Lord wanted me to testify. So I held up my hand, and he says, yeah, and I stood up, and he says, I want to thank the Lord for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me. And when I first stood up, I felt like I was going to have a seizure. But the minute that I spoke that words out, it was gone. And it's never came back since then.
Praise the Lord.
But see, that's why even that scripture where it talks about your mouth when you speak, you know, God gave us the ability, and everything that you see in the natural came about through somebody speaking it into existence.
Yes.
You say, well, it didn't instantly happen. No, but some architect or some engineer drew something, and he took his drawing and he went to somebody and he says, look, this will make this particular product, you know, this thing will do this, it'll do that, it'll do something else. And he spoke it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody heard his words and says, okay, well, let's make that. Let's try making that and see what happens. And you know, that created. So everything we see in the natural was created through spoken word.
Yes.
You know, even you said yourself, I'm gonna make a chair out of this wood over here, or I'm gonna do this. You know, and you maybe even told somebody you did, but if you didn't, you spoke it to yourself, you know, in your mind. And you know, so we need to understand that our words have tremendous power. And he said, you're gonna be judged by your words. So you know, that's what back in our original scripture back there in Matthew. So there's going to be a certain amount of judgment by the words that we speak. But we need to learn to speak positive, not negative things, you know. But anyway, and I told myself I wasn't going to say hardly anything today. Sorry.
We have ways of making
Yes. Praise God.
I saw something here that kind of got me. In Isaiah 11:13, maybe you know the story. It says, and you know, he's gonna, you know, say, assemble the outcasts and all that stuff. And then in 13 it says, the envy of Ephraim shall depart. I didn't know that Ephraim was ever jealous of anyone. He was the blessed one. He was the second son of Joseph and got the blessing. And the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Have you ever heard a story about Judah and Ephraim? Judah was the son of Abraham, right? And Ephraim was way down there.
No, Judah was the son of, wait a minute. Yeah, they were son of Abraham, yeah.
And Ephraim was the son of Joseph, so he was once removed.
Yeah, but he was counted as part of the 12 tribes, especially in...
Oh, Judah says he was the son of Jacob.
Jacob, yes,
yeah, Jacob by
Israel.
Israel,
yeah, mm-hmm. In Israel.
Judah, yeah.
No, wait a minute. Abraham's son was I can't even think this morning. Abraham's son was Isaac.
Isaac,
yeah. And then Isaac.
Begat Jacob.
Begat Jacob, and then Jacob.
Begat Judah.
Begat Judah and the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Ephraim and Manasseh were Joseph's sons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Ephraim got the blessing, so he was twice blessed. That's all Ephraim
was.
Well,
Ephraim's main name means double or dual fruited. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He got the double portion, right? And Manasseh means causing to forget. And what does Scripture say? Forgetting those things that which are behind, I press mm-hmm. towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So when we realize that, but if you look I think in Revelations, I believe Manasseh is mentioned there. I believe.
In Revelation?
I think in Revelation chapter 7, I think.
Oh.
I think. I don't know. My brain is not very clear.
It's only going to get worse.
Ephraim, because of the double blessing, that he was being envied.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was being envied.
Right.
And they were jealous of him.
Right.
But they said it shall depart. And they who vex and harass Judah from the outside or inside shall be cut off, and Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex and harass Ephraim.
That kind of goes along with, the Lord's gonna come a second time and get, I mean, everybody's gonna get
it.
Oh, come quickly. That was the last words, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Yeah.
Revelation 7?
We getting together.
I don't think Ephraim's mentioned in those. I don't think Ephraim's mentioned. Mm-hmm.
I will probably do a little looking into that. Think about it. See if I can find anything. That's interesting.
Well,
I guess it's about time, guys.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We made it through the another one.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Pastor, open your mouth one more time and close us in a word of prayer.
Father, in Jesus' name,
yes,
I just ask you to
have
your way in the service as we go out there. I ask you to just bless people as they listen to this class, and
yes,
let them come to realize that we are part of that branch of that root of Jesse, that
yes,
branch,
Lord.
And that as we grow up in you, we will come to the place where we can stick our hand even in the crocodile's den, even into the deadly serpent, the asp. And Father, we know that you defeated that serpent on Calvary. And I ask
yes,
you to just, whoever hears this Sunday school class, let it minister to them and let them open their eyes and their ears, spiritual eyes and ears, to hear and to see
yes,
the glory of God in this situation. In Jesus'
thank
name,
you,
amen.
Amen. Amen.